June 14, 1941. 15-year-old Lena Vilkas sits at her desk writing a letter when Soviet officers pound on her family's door in Lithuania. Her mother, Elena, is granted just 20 minutes to pack before they're taken away. In the frantic moments that follow, Lena grabs clothes, family photos, and her precious art supplies. As they're marched through darkened streets to waiting trucks, neighbors peek through curtains but quickly hide. Inside the truck, familiar faces appear: a teacher, a librarian, a hotel owner, all apparently on the same mysterious list. What kind of list could include newborns alongside professors? The answer would reveal itself in the nightmare ahead. This is how Ruta Sepeti's haunting narrative begins, illuminating one of history's forgotten tragedies, the Soviet deportation of hundreds of thousands of Baltic citizens during World War II. What makes this story particularly powerful is that it emerged from Sepeti's own family history. Her father escaped Lithuania while other relatives were deported to Siberia, giving her a personal connection to a tragedy that remained hidden behind the Iron Curtain for decades. At the train depot, families are torn apart amid chaos. When an NKVD officer tries to take Jonas, Elena bargains in Russian, offering rubles, her amber pendant, and her husband's watch to keep her 10-year-old son, who wets himself in terror. 46 people are crammed into a cattle car labeled thieves and prostitutes, with only a hole for a toilet. When a men's train arrives, Lena, Jonas, and 17-year-old Andreas search for their fathers. They find Lena's father in the seventh car, his face bruised. Through a small opening, he passes them clothes, food, and his wedding ring, revealing their destination is Siberia. The car grows hotter and the stench unbearable. Guards provide minimal water and gray slop. While resting, Lena realizes she could leave drawings as a trail for her father, a silent language connecting them across the distance between their trains. As their train rolls through Lithuania, Lena documents everything she witnesses. When the men's cars are separated, everyone joins, singing the Lithuanian national anthem, moving her to tears. After 6 weeks on the train and 3 days without food, they arrive in the Altai region near China. Their new home is a filthy 10-by-12-foot shack with only a small stove, straw pallet, and 2 tiny windows. Despite her circumstances, Lena continues to draw, creating a visual record of their suffering. Her art becomes both documentation and a lifeline to her identity. When the NKVD commander requests his portrait, she struggles not to depict him as the monster she sees. Guards force them to witness brutal punishments and repeatedly awaken prisoners to sign documents sentencing them to 25 years. At the digging site, Commander Komarov forces Lena, her mother, and 2 women into a pit, firing shots nearby and partially burying them alive. In these moments of dehumanization, Lena's art becomes her strongest resistance, preserving not just what happened, but who they were before. Jonas develops severe scurvy, but Andreas saves him with stolen tomatoes. When confronted about his mother working for the NKVD, Andreas reveals the painful truth. The Soviets threatened to kill him unless his mother slept with the officers. On Christmas Eve, deportees gather with saved food and family photographs, a Lithuanian tradition honoring absent loved ones. Mr. Stalas surprises everyone by revealing he's Jewish, though he'd still offered his hut for their celebration. After an awkward silence, Jonas's laughter breaks the tension. They spend hours singing carols, and Elena persuades Mr. Stalas to recite the Hebrew prayer Ma'az Tzur. For Lena's 16th birthday, her mother and Jonas organize a surprise celebration. Later, Andreas gives her a Russian copy of Dickens' Dombey and Son, moving her to kiss him. These connections, across age, religion, and between prisoner and guard, reveal humanity persisting despite Soviet dehumanization. When Lena finds Kretzky, an occasionally kind NKVD guard, crying, she surprisingly offers comfort despite her hatred. After months in Altai, Lena's family is transferred to Trofimovsk in the Arctic Circle. They journey by train and barge, eventually reaching this barren tundra near the North Pole. There, they're forced to build yurtas, huts, from scraps, while officers keep proper building materials for themselves. When an American ship arrives, the NKVD hides them at gunpoint. After it leaves, prisoners unload mountains of supplies, canned vegetables, butter, milk, eggs, that they'll never taste. The Americans had delivered kerosene, fishing nets, and fur-lined coats for the NKVD while prisoners shiver in threadbare clothing. Their daily bread ration is merely 300 grams. On September 26th, the first snowstorm hits. They huddle together as freezing temperatures penetrate their bones. Then comes devastating news. Kretzky informs Alina her husband has been shot in prison. She collapses as a snowstorm engulfs them. By mid-December, winter has them firmly in its grip. When Janina finds a huge dead owl, Lena hides it inside her coat despite her revulsion. They cook it over their makeshift stove, imagining themselves at a royal banquet, grateful for this small miracle amid their darkest moments. Christmas arrives. They've survived half the winter. Elena weakens, her hair frozen to a board as lice bring typhus. On January 5th, Jonas holds his mother while Mrs. Remus tries to feed her. With labored breathing, Elena looks at Jonas, opens her mouth silently, and her eyes fade. She is gone. In Elena's suitcase, they find clean clothes she'd saved for their return to Lithuania. That night, Jonas and Lena dig a grave on a hill near the Laptev Sea, breaking through frozen ground in darkness. By February, Janina battles scurvy and Jonas's spots return. Without tomatoes or Andreas's help, Lena promises Jonas they'll survive and go home. Unexpectedly, Dr. Samadurov appears, ordering fish for the children and arranging help for the sick. Before leaving, he reveals Kretzky found them. While walking to chop wood, Lena glimpses gold on the horizon. The sun has returned after the polar night. She closes her eyes, feeling Andreas's presence, and whispers, "I will see you," clutching his stone. In 1995, a construction worker in Kaunas, Lithuania, discovered a wooden box containing a glass jar filled with papers. Inside was a letter from Mrs. Lena Arvidas, explaining that the writings and drawings were buried after her 12-year Siberian imprisonment. The Baltic deportations remained largely unknown to the West for decades. The Soviet Union absorbed Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, erasing them from maps and deporting their educated classes. Despite losing a third of their population during Stalin's terror, Baltic people chose hope over hate. Lena's art represented the power of bearing witness. Her buried jar symbolizes countless stories hidden behind the Iron Curtain, truths that couldn't be spoken but refused to be forgotten. Between shades of gray lies our shared humanity, our capacity for both cruelty and compassion. The strongest resistance against tyranny is often maintaining one's humanity amid dehumanization. Through art, memory, and love, Lena ensured that truth would eventually emerge from silence into light.